March 11th, 2018, GNSO, RDAP, pilot discussion, room 103B, 10:30 a.m.
This is Mark Anderson. We've got people still filing in the room, so we'll give people a couple more minutes before we get things started. Hey, good morning, everyone. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Looks like we have critical mass and people are settling in, so can we go ahead and start the recording? Great. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the ICANN 61 meeting of the RDAP pilot discussion group. My name is Mark Anderson from VeriSign, and by virtue of not saying "not" it quick enough, I ended up as your co-chair to this, your chair to this group. So I've been facilitating this this discussion and trying to keep it moving with some degrees of success. We have a agenda for everybody here. It's up on the screen and in Adobe. If you're not in Adobe, you can connect and follow along. But we'll have screens projected here in the room. We're going to start things off with a little bit of an overview. At the ICANN 60 meeting, Francisco from ICANN staff provided an overview of RDAP, the RDAP pilot. And I thought that was a good way to sort of introduce the session and the topic with a number of people in the room who are new to it, and I think it's good to set a ground, same understanding for everybody in the room. We have a number of pilot participants. I see many of them in the room, and so we'll also give them an opportunity to give an update on the status of their pilots, how things are going, and anything they'd like to highlight. We also have a guest speaker here today, Greg. Hopefully I see Mornier. Yeah. All right. Greg, if you're at ICANN 60, Greg is the individual whose name I could not for the life of me remember for the entire meeting. And so I now know that this is indeed Greg, and I promise not to forget your name again. But Greg offered to come speak to us about some of the law enforcement requirements, some of the needs of their group in helping us develop a next generation RDS solution. And so I thought that was a great opportunity to hear from one of the key user groups of the RDS tool. So I took him up on that opportunity. I think this is a great chance for us to hear from Greg, who we're talking about law enforcement needs. As everybody that's been a part of this group knows, the output or the outcome of this pilot is a new profile. And so one of the things we've been struggling with as a group is how to work on defining a new profile. So we'll talk about that for the remainder of the time. We can have feedback. We welcome feedback from anybody in the room. This is an open session, so everybody is encouraged to participate, ask questions, provide feedback and input. We have plenty of mics at the table. If anybody wants to come up and comment, you're welcome to do so. Can you go to the next slide, Sue? We also have a plug here for the registration operations workshop, the row. Row number 7 will be 17 May 2018 in Vancouver. This immediately follows the GDD summit. So if you're attending the GDD summit already and would like to participate in the row, it's actually the second half of the last day of the GDD summit. So they've been co-located to sort of ease the travel burdens on people. So if you're interested, and especially if you're attending the GG Summit already, I encourage you to attend. Did you want to add anything to that? Okay, great. With that, if you go to the next slide, I'll turn things over to Francisco from ICANN staff, who's going to give us a little bit of an overview on both RDAP in general and specifically the RDAP pilot, how we ended up with the RDAP pilot, sort of its goals and next steps. Before I do that, though, I see some people standing. Don't be shy. We have seats up at the table. Feel free to sit down. I'm not going to call on anybody just because you're sitting at the table. But thank you. Francisco, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mark, and hello, everyone. So let's see how we get here. So this is the quick agenda. Let's keep that and go directly to the issue. So this is the background. So this started back in 2011 when the Security and Stability Advisory Committee to ICANN in their SAC 51 set of recommendations, they recommended the ICANN community to evaluate and adopt a replacement for WHIS that was adopted by the board shortly after, and they instructed the staff to work with the community to develop a roadmap to implement this set of recommendations. In parallel, in the ITF work started also in 2012 to develop this protocol that will be the replacement for WHIS, and that work finalized in 2015. Now we have the RDAP protocol, the Registration Data Access Protocol, that was published as standard by the ITF in March 2015. Then going back to the ICANN sphere, we started work on a profile for the GTLIS registries and registrars in 2015. The reason for this work is that RDAP, the standard, is you can think of it as a menu of a functionality that can be implemented, and it doesn't tell you which ones you turn on or off. It depends on the local policy, I believe the term used in the standard, and it's not referring to consensus policies as it is called in ICANN, is a completely different meaning there. The point is there need to be some definition of what features had to be turned on or off in the GTLDs, and that was the intent of developing this profile. So the work on that profile culminated in July 2016. The first version of that profile was published. Unfortunately, shortly after, ICANN received a request for reconsideration regarding the inclusion of this RDAP profile and RDAP in general, the requirement to implement RDAP in the consistent label and display policy. And in February 2017, that policy was revised, and the requirement to implement RDAP was removed. In the meantime, discussions with the register holder group and the register stakeholder group continue, and we receive a proposal from the contracted parties, registrars and registrars, to how to implement RDAP. This was accepted by the ICANN organization in September, and the main request in that proposal was to start to start a pilot, which we started in 5 September, to work towards having a profile or profiles agreed for GTLDs registries and registrars, with the aim to have this done by July 2018. So by that time, the idea is to finalize the pilot and to have an agreed timeline to take RDAP to production and have the profile or profiles agreed. After that, whatever timeline is defined, that's when we will have an RDAP service in production. So that's the timeline that was set by that proposal. For those of you that are not familiar with RDAP or why we went to all this trouble, let me provide some background on why we think why it was thought that Port 43 WHIS needed to be replaced. So some of the issues that this protocol has is that it's barely a protocol. It's a very simple thing that just said you send something and you get something back. And so there is no standardized format on the output, and here are just a couple of examples of what you can see out there with some registries. There is no support for internalization, so there is no way to say I'm going to provide for the server the registry, for example, or the registrar to say I'm going to provide you output in this encoding, or so there is no way for the client to know what it's getting, and there is no way to know how to interpret, so you get things like this. Other issues with port 43 HUIS is there is no support for differentiated access. That is, there is no way to give certain output to certain users and other output to other users. For example, defined in the draft model for GDPR compliance, there is the idea of having some minimum output and some full output to authenticated users. That's not something that is really available in port 43 HUIS. Another thing in another limitation in port 43 HUIS is it's a lookup only protocol. There is no functionality for search, so you can only search for a given object, a given domain name or contact or name server, etc. With RDAP, you have the option to support search in a standardized way. Another thing, there is no standardized ways to redirect. For example, in team registries, only have a portion of the data. The rest of the data is held by the registrar, and with HUIS, there is no standardized way to for the registry to say, here's the portion of the data I have, and here is where you can find the rest of the information. There is no bootstrapping mechanism. That is, there is no way to know who to query. So if I want to, if I'm the user and I know that I want to know who is the registrar of ICANN.org, I need to know in HUIS who to query to get that information. It's also an insecure protocol. There is no way to authenticate the server or to encrypt the channel between the server and the client. And what are the RDAP features? Well, not surprisingly, they are basically the opposite of the issues that we find in HUIS port 43. So it's it has a standardized query response and error messages. It has secure access to data. It's run over HTTP, and as such, it can be run over HTTPS. It can be extended easily. It was designed with that in mind, so you can add different output elements depending on the needs of each registry or registrar. It also enables differentiated access to have different levels. You can define who gets to see what. The protocol, of course, does not say who gets to see what. That's a decision that has to be taken by someone else. It has a bootstrapping mechanism, so in RDAP, it's possible for you to just tell the client, I need to know information about this domain name, and the protocol will take care of finding what server to query and get the information. It has also a way to do redirection reference. This is the mechanism that could be used for team registries, so that the server says, here's the data I have, and here's where you can find more information, for example, to the registrar, providing a link to the registrar RDAP service. I already mentioned it's built on top of HTTP, so that makes should make life easier for implementers, since pretty much everyone is running a web service these days. It comes with internationalization support from scratch, so you can have internationalized registration data, addresses, names, etc. They can be in whatever script is supported by Unicode, which is the de facto standard for internationalization. It also enables searches of objects. Again, it does not mandate that they are done, but it tells you how to do them if you want to do those. So some resources that may be of interest, we have set up a page. You can find it there, ICANN.org/RDAP, with some links to the resources that we have there. One of those is the pilot that is running. In there, we have currently 6 registries that cover 50-plus GTLDs that are participating so far in this pilot. We are encouraging people to use the GTLD tech mailing list. You can see the link there, where you can provide a general feedback regarding the pilot. I'm going to do a quick demo of the RDAP output for those of you that have not seen it. So one thing you should know about RDAP while I set up this thing is RDAP is intended to offer a standardized output and is not directed to the end user. So the idea there is that RDAP provides a standardized output that can be easily converted to something that a normal user will want to see in a HTML page. So that's trivially done using the RDAP information, but you should know that the output in RDAP is it's something that perhaps only techies can immediately understand. So I'm using here an example from one of the registries participating in the pilot, .bin. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. So here you can see I did a query for the domain name nick.bin. And another interesting thing, you can see the registration when the domain name was created. You can see it here. When the domain name expires, and let's see a little bit more here. Entities, that's the name in RDAP for contacts. So here is where you find the registrant, the admin, the technical, billing contact, etc., whatever contacts the domain name has linked. So in this case, for example, this contact and FN means full name. This is the name of the contact. It's an organization, and the name of the organization is TLD Box, and I'm going to try to pronounce that. Here is the address, so here is the name of the element, so you can see. So that's the address. The telephone number, you can see is a number here. What else do we have here? There is a fax number. There is an email. And the last piece of information, this contact has the role of technical contact for this domain name. So that's another interesting example. This is another contact, but here, interestingly, is this the one I'm looking? No, I don't think so. There was one of the contacts, I think it was on the top, that is redacted. So in RDAP, you also have a way to redact information. So what is it? Sorry, the feedback is not helping me here to do this. Here it is. Okay. So in this case, the registry is redacting the information and saying this is protected under privacy law, et cetera, et cetera. So you cannot really see any of the information. So this is one way in which you could do this. Of course, another way is just simply you don't provide the data, which is how other participants in the pilot choose to do that. So this is Google, and here you can see you have the information about the domain name, so when it was registered, transferred, when it does expire, last update, etc. But when you go to find the entities, the only entity you find here is the registrar, and the rest of the contacts, you don't find them there. And there is a message below that will tell you that, oh, here are the name servers. So here, Google chose to hide the contacts, and is telling us that. It also provides the terms of service for the RDAP service you can find. And I think that's it for a quick overview of how you will see things in RDAP. All of this is in JSON, which is a standardized format that can easily convert it to HTML page that a normal user will probably prefer to see. So with this, I turn this back to you, Mark.
Great. Thank you, Francisco. I appreciate you once again volunteering to give us the overview and provide a demo of some of the typical output. I think it's useful to be able to sort of see and touch sort of the JSON output that you would expect from an RDAP query. Do we have questions or comments before we move on? Okay. I do want to add sort of one thing to what Francisco said. The RDAP protocol itself was not designed specifically for registries. It's domain name registries. So it's a registration data access protocol, but it can be used for things other than domain name registries. The IETF specifically created it to be a little broader than just domain name registries. And that's one of the reasons why you see us working on a profile. The profile's in part to define how a domain name registry would implement the RDAP protocol. So just a little more color on why that's important to us. At this point, I'd like to turn things over to our guest speaker, Greg. Greg is from Europol Cybercrime Division and is a member of the GAC Public Safety Working Group and an active participant on the NextGen RDS PDP. And so he comes to us with some expertise. And again, thank you. Thank you very much, Greg, for agreeing to come and talk to us. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Good morning, everyone. I'm laughing because a guest speaker, that's probably a bit too much. I just have a few comments to make and give you a bit of an update. So after the meeting, the RDAP pilot project meeting in South Africa last time, where Urenga from the FBI, the Bureau, and I attended, then we volunteered basically to facilitate the communications and the engagements with the law enforcement community, which might be one of the main clients of the RDAP protocol. So what we've tried to do is, first of all, really just raise awareness about the reform of the OEs in light of the GDPR taking effect in May with the law enforcement community, and then telling them, of course, that there was also a new protocol being worked on, which might be replacing the OEs protocol, and which will have the feature of differentiated access. So that was already a first thing. So what we've done is that we've organized, in parallel to our Public Safety Working Group intersessional meeting that we had in Brussels in February, so we have every year a meeting outside of ICANN meetings, we've organized a meeting with some of the registries that are part of the pilot program, and we were very grateful for Mark and Rick from VeriSign to be there, and also Francesco also gave a presentation to about 30 COPs from various countries in Europe, but also Canada, the US, and so on. So we went through what RDAP might be all about. We explained the various features, and we've asked for feedback. To be honest with you, we've also sent the link to the portal as well for them to try to play around with what was available at that time. To be honest, the feedback we got was very high level, in the sense that, you know, they haven't got into, you know, what Francisco showed. So they really provided us with like a few big high level principles that they would like to see implemented, at least for them to be able to use that protocol. So first of all, really the main feedback is great features, standardized format for queries, that's great, search support, differentiated access, that's all good. But then one of the main issues they would have is that when we sent, and that's maybe something that you could clarify, when we send the various link to the various portals, so the Affilias portal, the VeriSign portal, Google portals, then the first question from grassroots investigator was, but are we going to have to query different portals? Or is it planned within the RDAP project that at some point there will be a central access portal where you could query the information? So that's really one of the main feedback. And again, I'm just throwing that to you. If you have straight on an answer, I'm happy to take on. But otherwise, it's just we can also continue the discussion. So that's really practical, very down-to-us support. The other issue they came up with was the fact that they are worried that their WHOIS queries might be tracked and logged. And that would be problematic because it would, of course, compromise the confidentiality of investigations. So if the central server that will be operating RDAP, I don't know exactly how it would work, but would log every queries that, for instance, the French accredited law enforcement entity, whoever that might be, the gendarmerie or the French police, whatever. And then if somebody could see in log, okay, they're doing this type of queries, so they might be, you know, investigating these type of domains, maybe they're trying to take down this type of botnet, then of course for us it would be an issue. So I've heard that Scott Hollenbeck and some others were working maybe on some features, like do not track type of features. Again, we haven't talked about the technical details about how would that be implemented, but that's for us really a red line. We understand also that from a privacy and data protection perspective, we need to be able to audit what accredited entities would be querying in a database to be sure that they're not overstepping, they're not abusing the system. But at least at central level, we wouldn't want to have the log. So this catch-22 type of situation could be, according to us, solved if the logging was done at local level. Let's say that a national accredited law enforcement entity has legitimate purpose to access non-public information in UIS. They do their request, but then the queries would be logged by that national entity. And so a DPA, national DPA, would have access to the logs in order to do the auditing. But then at central global level, so the access to the UIS, then there wouldn't be any log. I don't know if that makes sense for everyone. I'm not sure if I explain myself correctly, but if you see the... Yes, please.
Vladimir Deskutinis Africa. So quick question on that. What is LEA afraid of with regards to logging? So you do a query, come to the server, we track the IP address and everything else for our logs and for auditing purposes. So does LEA believe that then we're going to turn around and notify the registrant or the accused party for something? I mean, at the end of the day, if that is a concern, can we not put that somewhere within a policy as part of a credentialing underline or something of that nature? I mean, can we not tackle it somewhere else instead of on the technical level?
I don't know. I suppose it would be possible, but I don't know if the community... I think that the community, the law enforcement community, would need to have proper guarantees that that would be implemented. So I suppose... I'm also turning to you, Iranga, but I suppose if it was not technically possible, then they would probably feel safer, But rather than, yes, there is a log, but then there is a policy that says that you can't divulgate the log, but yeah, but what if the server get hacked or something? I don't know. But, I mean, again, this is really high level. So I think from the COP's perspective, it would be great if it's from a technical perspective that wouldn't be possible. But I don't know if it's realistic.
I think it could be done either way. I think we're not ignorant to the fact that, when we query, it's logged anywhere now. That's the reality. But I think the difference for us, and maybe we don't get this fully, but then when you're connecting that to an authenticated account, that's where we get concerned, is that if you're authenticating us as law enforcement and logging it and you can make that connection, then it gets really interesting for people who maybe want to get tipped off or may ruin a lead or something like that. That would be a confidential issue for law enforcement.
So thank you, Jim Galvin from Affiliates for the Record. I guess I want to understand the requirement or the ask, if you will, from a policy point of view and separate this out. In today's world, of course, logging happens. All queries get logged. So I think to translate this requirement to something more actionable, what you're looking for, if I understand correctly, is anonymous full access. Would that be fair, a fair characterization?
Yeah, I think it would be fair. I mean, if you think that law enforcement accredited entities have a specific profile and that profile would have anonymous access and full access, then yeah, I guess it would be okay. But then,
so to take that a step further, you're actually asking that, in particular, maybe not full anonymity, but the requirement is more that it not be known that law enforcement is making the query. That's really the critical thing. So, and I'll take a step further, characterize this in a certain way. I'm trying to get to a place here. So what you want is for law enforcement to not have any accountability for having made the query.
The accountability would be taking place at local level. So a DPA, a national DPA, would still be, I mean, I'm talking about an ideal solution, would still be able to see what type of queries have been done, but it wouldn't be available at global level.
So, which is interesting. So there's a distinction here, right? And that's why I said that I tried to get there from a first statement. Is it that law enforcement wants anonymity, or just that the individual in law enforcement wants anonymity? And do you understand the difference I'm trying to distinguish?
Yeah, so I don't think I'd wade into the accountability argument as much as we'd be concerned about the request itself being anonymized. I think creating RDAP to kind of replicate the existing ecosystem as much as possible would be, I guess, a better context.
Okay. Because the problem that I have from a technology point of view, okay, is providing sort of pure anonymity, if you want, from a technology point of view, is actually not, I mean, that's not a trivial thing, not at all in any way, shape, or form for anybody. Even the do not track options, you know, are sort of, well, you're assuming then that everyone's a good player and on their good behavior. And that's probably true for most of us, okay? It's certainly true for me. I don't know about anybody else, but... no, but seriously, you know, I mean, that's probably true for the most part. And so I think that you're already, by definition, going to be making a compromise because you're always at risk of, you know, malefactors and the malefactor servers, if you will, you know, still recording and keeping that data and not anonymizing it out. So if you start from that premise that you're already in a compromised position, what I want to offer to you is conceptually something to think about. You know, what if it really was known that law enforcement was making the query, but you could only know that law enforcement at a regional level was making the query? So take it more specifically, right? There has to be some kind of central authority that's issuing the credentials, okay, whatever that's going to be, and that's its own discussion. What I'm imagining is that central authority would actually assert that in individual countries, or whatever region you want to define, but I'm assuming we're talking about countries, there would be an authority in that country that would issue credentials, okay? Only that country would know who the individual is that's associated with the credential. They could certainly issue what are essentially pseudonyms, you know, and that's what they would offer up to that would be the credential that someone who got accredited would get, and they could use that at any registry. What that means is for anybody who's offering you a response, they would know it's law enforcement, and they would know what country it is, but that's all the data that they would have. And arguably, if you want an audit to work, okay, if we're expecting that, and this gets into issues that we're not going to answer here, right, but if a DPA needs to come in and audit all the queries and know where they are, you'd need that information anyway. I mean, any server would have to log that much information because they'd need to be able to say, go talk to this authority if you want to really know what's going on. You know, I mean, otherwise, even the servers are not protected at all. Would that level of pseudonymity work for you, or are you really trying to lean towards more of a pure anonymous kind of scenario?
I think if it's a one country, law enforcement is making that type of query, that already, for some cops, that's already too much. So if we could go a bit further, even if it was like, okay, if it's just law enforcement profile, regardless of, you know, the countries or anything, maybe that would be acceptable. But ideally for the cops would be, you know, there's no queries being made. And then, but it could still be audited at local level. Again, maybe I'm asking something completely impossible, but that's, you know, ideally that's what they would be looking for.
So, I mean, I can imagine implementations as long as we're allowing for a pseudonym. Good morning. As long as we're allowing for a pseudonym, then the only question is that, you know, how much information is being given away? I mean, obviously there are implementations where even if you had a hierarchy where you have a central authority and then a regional level authority of some sort, you could find a way to issue identifiers in such a way that you would know it's law enforcement, but you would have no other data about where it is. Only the central authority would be able to decode the pseudonym, if you will, into something interesting. I mean, would that be a model that would work for you?
Yeah, I guess that could be a good compromise, yeah. I mean, that's again, we haven't made up our mind, and it's just the fact that we're having this discussion and you throwing these type of comments is great for us. It's really cool. So,
I'm sorry, Mark. I know I've been kind of monopolizing a little bit of discussion here, but I hope this was helpful. I'm done now. Thanks.
No worries. Thank you. And I just want to point out Maxim's been virtually and literally holding his hand up there. So go ahead, Maxim.
Maxim Olzoba, for the record. Actually, currently there is some mechanism. It's almost not working, but it's formal. Many countries have this mechanism. It's called Interpol. Yeah, in addition to GEC efforts, there could be something with Interpol, because, for example, FBI obviously can send, hypothetically, if this works, it's going to be Interpol request, and only Interpol would know who asked that. Because local law enforcement, they have local provisions in law saying how the protocols of access, who can access data, if, like, road sheriff can do that, or, yeah, whatsoever. It's in each of our countries. We have lots of law describing how police works, their rights, the punishment for disclosure, etc., etc. Only accredited personnel usually has access to even knowledge that the request was done. And due to severe punishments, usually they keep silence. So it protects the fact of investigation being done. But on that basically my suggestion is to think about model where the country, particular country, hides beyond the portal of Interpol. And only they. Currently, if you file a thing, MLAT, am I right? They already know, Interpol Secretariat already know that this particular document is filed from there to request information from some other country. And it's not a secret for them. So it's just mimicking that model. But since it's going to be in electronic form instead of like papers, months here, there, it could be like maybe days or weeks. It's faster anyway than month. So it's just a suggestion to think about trying to just use that model, which works somehow, to try to attach it here so it works for you again. And it's going to be like Interpol. That's it. It's pretty broad, like somewhere on the planet. And it doesn't say who requests, which department, etc., because it's going to be hidden under the local umbrella, because usually agencies, they don't give information out. So they request to the person who is handling the contact with Interpol. It's anonymized here. Then it's request there. It's anonymized on that level. And in the end, Interpol request under some, for example, special policy is going to be, or whatever they cook in GEC. And that's it. It's totally hidden. It's safe. Yeah, someone on the planet is interested in that. So what? Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. I think Ranga, did you do your hand up earlier? Okay. Roger, did you want to jump in?
Thanks, Mark. This is Roger Carney. I guess like this kind of leads into a question I was holding, but I'll bring it up now. And ask the implementers about how they foresee taking a credential from some party, some third party, who knows what it is, it's a warehouse somewhere that says, yes, these are the credentials. Is there a need to identify if it's law enforcement versus IP versus anybody else that has been accredited to get access? I mean, basically, are they trying to separate their queries to be different for law enforcement than for IP than for anybody else that's been accredited?
I see Jim's hand's already up, and he's itching to jump in, so please.
I'll just answer Roger's question for the moment. I mean, Jim Galvin, for the record. Yes, whether or not I put someone in a category, I absolutely want accountability on who's asking for the data. And what I'm expecting down the road is that at some point I do want to know who, and I don't know what the index is going to be, but I'm imagining that each of the credentials will be in a category, so I'll know whether it's law enforcement or IPC or something else. And the reason for that is I may very well have a different response for people. So you do need some accountability, because I'll probably offer some kind of response for them. I'm expecting policies to go in that direction down the road. So, you know, we need to know.
This is Roger, just to add on to that, I would agree there's got to be policies on that, but I'm not sure that that policy has to indicate that it's law enforcement. It's a group that gets a certain data set back, and that may be law enforcement and maybe somebody else.
Fair enough. You're right. But I guess I'm just being practical about the whole thing. There could be some central authority which creates central authorities and assigns them a magic number, you know, kind of thing about what you're going to do. I mean, honestly, do you think we're not going to know it's the law enforcement credential versus, you know, IPC or anything else? I mean, you can go to a lot of trouble to hide that information, but it's a practical matter. I just don't see that level of anonymity really happening.
A very practical question. So who would have access to the logs anyway?
I mean, I'll give my answer. I mean, from our point of view, there are logs. So nobody gets access to them without, you know, an appropriate authoritative request. So, you know, courts could ask for them, you know, that kind of thing. But I can't imagine otherwise giving them away for any particular reason.
Because that could be an additional layer of security guarantee in the policies. You would say that the logs are only, you know, releasable to you. So unless you guys are hacked at the end.
Yeah, all fair points. Thank you for the questions. Do you want to continue, or?
Yeah, I've got one more point. I mean, except for the anonymity requests, already really having the discussion with you and throwing out a few possible answers are good. And I think it's nice that you have it in mind while you continue to develop your protocols. And the last concrete feedback we got from the community, so from that meeting and from the discussion we had with our colleagues, is the worry about the fact that so we're moving on from the port 43 WHOIS towards a new protocol, and often like IP holders and big companies are also doing a lot of queries in bulk. So we have a series of domains, and we make the. Will we still have? Well, does the RDAP protocol still has that feature? Can we still come up with 20,000 domains and make the requests, and then, or do we have to do requests for each domain? So that's something that the COPs are wondering.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mark. I'll start that off. WHOIS, the Port 43 WHOIS itself wasn't actually designed for bulk at all. It's the tool that exists, and so people have sort of scraped Port 43 WHOIS to meet their needs. And so I would say that RDAP provides better tools than Port 43. Of course, there are questions to how it's implemented, and I'm getting some nods in the room that make me think I'm giving a halfway decent answer there.
So. Jim Galvin, for the record. I mean, RDAP is a much better tool, and it will be driven by policy. I mean, right now, the registry agreements have a policy about, you know, who gets bulk access and how that happens. That will simply be adjusted to make RDAP the tool, and RDAP actually makes bulk access a little bit easier. So, you know, we'll just figure something else out according to policy, that's all.
I'm going to ask Sue to read a question in chat. I think we have a comment from Brian Mountford from Google.
Yes. Will individual law enforcement requests be backed up with a warrant of some kind allowing them access to specific information, or is it more that accredited law enforcement users will have access to all information about all domains?
Well, according to our knowledge about the temporary model that was put back by ICANN last week and the rest, I mean, one of our red lines, of course, is that we don't want to have to come up with a warrant every time we make a query, that's for sure. So currently what the ICANN is proposing is okay, in a sense, okay. If you are accredited by national level, for instance, and you're a law enforcement, you've got a legitimate need to access to non-public WHOIS information, then you use whatever protocol you have, and then you've got access to, you know, thick WHOIS plus the rest, and I think that's that should be the way it should be, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue, for pointing out Brian's comments. I haven't really been following along in the chat, so apologies if I'm missing comments in there. Would you like to add anything else?
Do you have a bit more time, or if you,
I think we're fine on time.
Okay,
we're going till 12, right? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Please.
So that's basically the three main comments that the law enforcement community so far has come up with. We want to continue the discussion. We want to continue to engage with that group, with everyone else, to try to get those requirements. I mean, requirements between brackets. Implemented in a protocol. We'll also continue to be engaged with the policy development. But what we are, I mean, that's maybe rather informal, but the situation we're in now is that on the 25th of May, registry will have to, you know, remove personal data from the UIS. So we've got this transition period in during which we won't have a specific access. So basically, concretely, it means that we're going to lose access to very relevant information. So my question to the registries that are part of that pilot program and the others is, you know, how do you see us having access to WHOIS information in the meantime, before our DAP comes up, because I suppose it won't be ready in May? What do we do before we implement the temporary model? I mean, is it possible maybe to have an informal discussion on having an agreement with the registries whereby you would, you know, if we provide you with the proper information, so yes, you are legit law enforcement entities, and yes, we give you access to non-public WHOIS. I don't know, you can think about the agreement we have on Spec 11, for instance, you know, something a bit more. We need to find something between now and the 25th of May, like an interim solutions to allow law enforcement to continue to have access to relevant information.
Thank you. I've actually got quite a queue going on, so I see everybody's hands. I'll get to you as best I can, but I think you're up first.
So, quick question. You mentioned that you're going back and forth to get feedback, and you know, with LEA, PSWG, and with ICANN. Have you guys started engaging with regards to credentialing? Because as part of the convergence model, ICANN speaks about credentialing, the centralized credentialing process. Have you started speaking about that with regards to categories, like you mentioned, you know, outside of jurisdiction, within jurisdiction, to kind of just get those embedded, and then from there, sort of make everybody's lives easier, I want to say, in terms of credentialing?
So far in the credentialing system, we haven't really too much into details. I think that the way we're going towards is that the credentialing authority would be at national level, and we would come up with a list. I mean, whoever, if it's the Ministry of Interior or whatever, would come up with a list of legitimate law enforcement authorities, and that list would be probably given to the GAC rep and then provided to the central authority. So we haven't really looked into it, but that's, yeah.
Thank you. I've got Jim next, and then down there for more comments.
Right. I have a question, which is what the hand is for. I also want to respond to what his topic here. Do you want me to just do both? But so we'll start with your response. You know, I don't think that this group and this pilot can answer your question for an interim solution. Speaking for myself, really, the answer to that question is not a technical one. It's a legal one, you know, and this is not the right group to answer that question. From a technical point of view, you know, I mean, it's straightforward to find some way to give you a credential that you can get access, but that's not what anybody cares about. You know, the question that's going on in other forum, even in ICANN, is about, you know, whether or not that's something that can be done. Is that even allowed for all of the GDPR and various other registry contact kind of agreements? And we're not going to answer that question here. That's just my take on that larger question. So my other question, just to bring a new topic in here, is with respect to credentials, it's really an ask to you, and I don't necessarily expect you to have the details here, but I think this is kind of important. When it comes to credentials, whether it's interim or long term, one of the important things that's going to happen is the lifetime of that credential and revocation of that credential and the processes that go with that and what that means. And law enforcement should think about how it wants to answer that question and what it would like, and that will ultimately be, you know, a negotiation with RDAP service providers of various sorts about what all that's going to look like. Once we can agree on a credential model, you know, managing those credentials is essential, and those are two key things, which they're kind of details at some level, but they are important policy considerations and important requirements for the system as a whole, and they have to be addressed. So you should think about how you want those to work so we can start talking about what to do. Thanks.
Ronald Schwertzler, .Wien. Very much in favor or in accordance with what you said. I think RDAP will provide you or has incorporated means of doing credentialing. But I can't, and it's a legal thing, whether you get access to the data or not. It's not a technical thing. We can agree on that you have to have a certificate, IP-based or whatever access. That's RDAP. But whether the government of, let's say, the Principality of Liechtenstein has access to any of the WHOIS records that we have stored there because they have an issue with one single .wien domain name, this is kind of GDPR definition that we cannot solve in here. I can't, and for Francisco, one remark on the Calzone model, which says a central repository for credentialing or giving access to law enforcement bodies. I really can't imagine that this is going to work because a government somewhere in the world has a GOC representative that says it's okay if this law enforcement body is listed in this repository, and then having access to all the data of all private persons that, for example, is stored with the .wien registry. This for sure, and I'm not illegal, this for sure is against GDPR principles. So it's a technical solution, yes, and it would take very much burden away from the registries to have a list where I can say, okay, access, not access. But from the legal point of view, this won't work. My personal opinion.
Thank you. Maxim, go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Actually, there are two things about GDPR. I'll be short. First, the language is extremely EU-centric. Basically, if you're not in one of European Union polices, or accredited by police. For example, some company is accredited with, for example, in Poland or in Romania. Then, formally, they will be able to use special allowances for police. But that's it. For example, police officer from Beijing or Moscow or Minsk or Kyiv, they have nothing to do with this definition. They're not even police under GDPR. Formally, outsiders, no provisions for them. And the second thing is transborder issues, because you need to know where you send information to. You have to have an agreement, actually, for that. And it's impossible to have an agreement with foreign law enforcement for obvious reasons, because they're represented by country, not like by division of police or whatsoever. So I'm not sure that finding technical solution, it's more about legal issue. Thanks.
I think you're running out of time. Okay, so we'll draw a line in this one. And again, I want to thank Greg for coming and speaking to us on this topic. One of the goals of the pilot is to give the opportunity for users of RDAP to be able to participate in the pilot and provide us feedback on how we implement it, and of course law enforcement being one of the important users of RDAP. So I want to thank Greg and Aranga for coming here participating. And we're going to try and keep a line of communication open, continue to work with, not just law enforcement, but other users to understand their needs. So again, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much. Greg in particular has agreed to be a liaison for us and is active and will be a resource available for us to work with moving forward.
Thank you.
And I realize also I went off topic on or I went off the agenda a little bit. I skipped over the status update for pilot participants, and so I would like to circle back to that. And give registry operators who are participating in the pilot an opportunity to provide an update on their pilots, the status, and again anything they'd like to highlight about it. I'll look for volunteers if anybody wants to go first. So please go ahead.
Vlad again. So we recently looked at our I mean, for a previous meeting as well, we looked at authentication and credentialing and everything else. And with the ICANN model coming out with regards to credentialing, and in the previous meeting, I believe, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Scott, who linked us to the OAuth, the OpenID usage. So we looked at that. We thought, you know, that is a great way to do it. And yes, we can do it locally and set up our stuff locally. But in the spirit of, you know, engaging with the community and everybody else, we were wondering if either ICANN or one of the other participants here can set up a basic server that can use OAuth, whether we can just give one set of credentials, returns true or false, or something of that nature, so we can start interacting with what is essentially the beginnings of a credentialing system within and sort of interpret it on our servers and see what data we can return and what data we can't return. So essentially that's where we're at right now, and we want to work with this federated authentication for RDAP using OpenID Connect, the draft that's out right now. And we want to start implementing that, and we're looking for, I want to say, support from this group to see if we can get somebody on there to develop a server, and we can create via API, just something as simple and basic. Is anybody willing to go for that?
I'll jump in to start with that. You know, I think having a centralized or federated authentication provider would definitely be helpful in moving the pilot forward. I think ideally it wouldn't be a registry operator that's providing that service, though. You know, I think it's been pointed out, you know, many times in many places, it's not ideal to, you know, we don't want to have each individual registry doing their own, you know, authentication. And so, you know, where we could have a registry volunteer to provide that service, you know, ideally it would be better to have somebody else do it. You know, I don't know if ICANN would be willing to even entertain that idea. Are you willing to jump in? Or
this is Francisco from ICANN org. This is a question that goes beyond my pay grade, but I take the input and I can take this internally and come back to you with an answer.
Fair enough. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree. I think, you know, that would be a good step for the pilot if we had an OAuth provider that could issue credentials, and you know, the different registry operators could all use the same one, especially in light of GDPR and the cookbook, and it would be a useful next step. Any other registry operators want to or pilot participants want to jump in? I can call on people. You could pass.
All right. So, Jim Galvin, for the record, from Ophelius. You know, I don't have an update, anything to change from the last time that we met. Although I guess this is, you know, the first time we're meeting sort of in this very public group here at an ICANN meeting in the Adobe Connect. I think that where we are, I mean, we have a server that's running. You know, you can ask for queries, and we're running it off of our dot info, so you can make queries and you can do an RDAP and see it, and all of that works. I think the issue for me with this group is this is a bit of a self-directed group, so I guess I have to take at least part of the blame. But you know, we all kind of have this as an action here. Is we need to create steps and we need to figure out what we're doing and sort of propose to do it. I think the suggestion for an OpenID server so that we can actually issue some credentials and try some things. In fact, actually, I'd say it'd be nice if we got, you know, two servers so that we could try federated stuff. And see how that works, because I really think long-term that's the kind of system that we're going to have. So we probably need, Francisco, I mean, if you're going to go down this path, it would be interesting to see if you could find a way to set up two of them so we could issue credentials in two different ones, and we could all see how that works too. But that, to me, is the issue. We're not giving ourselves actions here, so there's like nothing to say from meeting to meeting. And I think that's kind of important. We have to figure out what we want to do here and move that forward and make that happen. So that's really what I'd like. And when we met last time, and you know, we just have our own mailing list, so the folks in the room who are just here because it's ICANN don't know this, but we decided last time to move to having weekly meetings. And I had suggested that, and part of the motivation for that was to just this issue. You know, we need to start setting actions and activities for ourselves and steps so that we can move towards being done with this pilot in July and have actually accomplished something. So we got to figure out what that is and what we're trying to achieve.
And credentials to me is the big thing. So I'm on board with the server, and then we can start talking about how to make use of it and what to do with it. So that's a little more than an update. Sorry, thanks.
No, good points. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Cyrus, would you like to jump in?
Yes, thank you. I'm Cyrus Namazi with ICANN organization. So to follow up and continue on what Jim was saying, when we got together a smaller subset of this group back in June of last year in Johannesburg and came up with the timeline and a plan, which I understood that would conclude by the end of July with an agreed-upon profile, I don't see us having moved the needle much. I mean, some of the conversations here are so, at least to my sort of not technical understanding of it, is preliminary to actually having had shortly after the June meeting to sort of get us on the right path. I don't see us having come up with a timeline by which we will have a completed profile. My concern is that we're continuing down what I would characterize as an academic discussions, but it's not really moving the needle in the right direction. I think we all need to come to the table, put a stake into the ground, have a timeline that says by which time we're going to have a profile. I think that big pole in the tent here is having the credentialing system identified. We talked about actually having the people that have come forward and are experimenting and sharing their learnings and experiments to come up perhaps with a proposal that would inform the RDS PDP in that regard. I think the timing of the GDPR going into effect in May really, I think, exacerbates the need to have a web-based sort of registration data services solution in place. So I'd really like to encourage you to, I think, come up with a plan that actually has deliverables and timelines and gets us to certain meaningful milestones so that the solution is identified and we can move away, hopefully at some point, from this ultimate dependency on port 43 and in light of all the privacy issues that are arising now in European Union and soon in other places, have a flexible platform in place that will allow us, without sort of having to rush to put Band-Aids on things, be able to address some of these issues. Thanks.
Thank you, Cyrus, and I agree. Thank you for your feedback and your comments. I think that's well put, and sort of in line with what Jim said, and I think the conversation we had on our last call as well. So, well put. Sue, do we have a question to be read or a comment to be read?
There's a question from Ray Fassett. Had the fees for data access been considered at all as part of this pilot discussion?
Ray, you can't really tell, but we're shaking our heads in the room. I don't really think that's in the scope of what we can even consider as part of the this discussion group. Unless, Jim, you want to?
I want to respond to Cyrus. Okay. So Jim Galvin from Aphilius. I agree with everything that Cyrus said, and I know we have on our agenda up here a discussion, you have a bullet item for profile status. I actually do have some questions and ask with respect to the profile to help move us forward. But I think the only thing that I would add to what Cyrus said is at least from my point of view, I saw the pilot as having two principal purposes, if you will. I mean, there's a lot of details, I suppose, in there, but there were two things. I heard you focusing mostly on the profile, and we'll get to that, I guess, in the agenda here and have some discussion about that. But it really is also about credentials and being able to talk about them. That was one of the key things in the pilot, even from the beginning, at least from my point of view. So, I think the fact that we're talking about moving the credential testing forward and asking for help in creating a credential server is movement in that direction. But nonetheless, you're still right on the project management side. We really don't have, a laid out set of agenda items and topics and timelines and recognition of our deadline of July. And, I guess, this is supposed to be a self-managed group and we're not doing a really good job of that. And we probably have to find a way to get past that. Thanks.
All fair points. I do want to make sure we have time to get to the profile status, but I also want to give other pilot participants a chance to provide an update. Don't feel like you have to, but Google online, do you want to jump in at all?
They've been having difficulty with the audio on Adobe, so that's why everybody's been typing. Have we gotten the... Do we have it back? We've got audio now. Okay. Brian?
And Brian just pinged that he had no updates. But, like, one very minor update is, like, we, after seeing the data models that ICANN had put out, like, circled back and thought about whether we had to, like, change the output side, because I think what has been included is slightly more extensive than what we've included in the redacted version, because there's not finality around that. We haven't moved forward with updating. But right now we're still relying on our own, like, very simple, very narrow credentialing system. So it would be interesting to engage with, like, the suggestion that Jim has put forward. But I think in terms of the field published, that's a pretty simple change. So we've talked about it, but are waiting for finality to actually make the tweak.
And just to add on to this is Ben McElwain from Google as well. Just to add on to that, I know RDAP as originally conceived was registry side only, but I'm not sure how tenable that will be going forward, given that under the GDPR model, many registrars will not be sending full details to the registry. So obviously, if we don't even have that data, we can't expose it in RDAP. So for many queries, the law enforcement guys are gone, but for many queries, like, we can't provide data that we don't have, so they'd have to turn around and get it from the registrar anyway. So I think we probably need to be talking about registrar-level RDAP.
That's a good point, and I know from their presentation last week that TUCAS is looking at RDAP as part of their solution to GDPR, so it would be interesting to see if we could fold them into this group in some way, even though it was originally conceived as a registry conversation.
Thank you. Good points. And, you know, I will point out that, you know, the pilot proposal did have support of registrars. I think there was a recognition from the beginning that this was a possibility as we got down that road. And we've been lucky enough to have GoDaddy participating from the beginning. So we at least have some registrar participation, but, you know, point well made.
Ronald Dutwin. Again, what Stephanie said, sending or not sending data over RDAP or even over EPP, now there is a field included which says, I think, display, don't display. Yeah, this, again, is a GDPR issue. Will they send after May 25th, will they send data or not? We can store them using RDAP protocol, so this is another area that has to be. And I know that TUCAS is thinking that way of, according to their GDPR provisions, of not giving away data because it minimizes their risk. So, again, in GDPR is a means to do it, or to send or not to send it, to withhold, to forbid displayment or whatever.
Thank you. Go ahead, Max.
Just a small note. Actually, it could be a perfect technical solution which contains only GDPR-protected fields for most registrants. But, yeah, after all, it might be working from technical point of view, not necessarily from legal point of view. So I think it's separated issues. And the best we can do is suggest implementation which is at least not contradictory to that. That's it.
Thank you. I'd like to go ahead and switch hats for a second here and give a quick update on VeriSign's pilot. We do have a little bit of an update in that we recently added .career to our pilot implementation. Ray Facets online is the registry operator for .career, or represents a registry operator for .career, and VeriSign provides back-end services for them. We asked Ray to participate for a couple reasons. We wanted to get experience with providing an RDAP solution when we're not the registry operator, we're providing back-end services. So that creates a different dynamic. So we thought that would be a good test case. And .career also sort of represents a typical distributed new gTLD for us to work with. But also what we added on top of that was authentication. We had previously had .com and .net in our RDAP pilot without authentication. What we added with .career is authentication. You can query a basic set of data without authenticating, but if you use authentication, you get additional data back in your query response. And we use basic OAuth compliant authentication, which means you can use Google, Facebook, any other authentication provider that's OAuth compliant. So you can see that in our pilot. If you want to test out how sort of a tiered access solution might look, that's what we're tried to show in our implementation. Again, if you go there without authenticating, you get essentially what looks like a thin response. But if you log in using one of the OAuth providers that are available, you can see additional data. Simulating how a tiered access solution might work. So that's the latest on where we are with our pilot. And before I go to you, I want to thank Ray, who again dialed in, is on the line for this, for agreeing to participate in the pilot and let us use Career as one of our test cases.
Just a quick question. So the instructions and essentially manual on how to do the OAuth and everything else through the VeriSign RDAP, that's all on your webpage? We can just go there, just review, and just start reviewing that information?
Yes, it's on the RDAP on the RDAP pilot page. There's I think there's an about or a help or something on the bottom, and it has all the details on how to set that up and test that out. Any other questions or comments before we go to the next agenda item? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Roger. I guess I'm going to ask the participants, the people that have a RDAP server set up. I've heard a lot of people say, yes, we have authentication in place, and you'll get public information if you don't authenticate, and if you authenticate, you get more information. A lot of the discussions today kind of started wrapping around this idea, and I just wanted to bring it up and see if anybody was testing the fact of filtering even at a lower level based on credentials. Like Maxim has mentioned, if you're law enforcement from Poland, you can only see Polish addresses or whatever it is. Or, are there RDAP solutions that are actually filtering based on other criteria than just, hey, yes, I'm credentialed or I'm not?
Speaking on behalf of VeriSign, that's farther along than we've gotten. Certainly, that's something that's been discussed, but we haven't gotten to the point of testing something like that out. I think really there, from my perspective, a federated authentication solution would really be helpful in giving us the opportunity to test something like that.
Yeah. So. Jim Galvin for Afilias, and the way that we've been thinking about this is that given authenticated access, associated with that credential will be a profile template of what the response can be like. And then the deal is if that information is in our database, then that's what you get. And so the next question becomes, okay, how does that credential index to a response template? We're imagining a variety of things. For us as a large service provider, we're imagining that some TLDs might have their own rules for whatever reason. So, that'll be an index into finding the profile. It's debatable as to whether or not the actual registrant, rather the contact information itself might require a particular response template. I mean, you can imagine there's a lot of discussions around European citizens, having limited data being exposed. I don't know. It's also possible the credential may have particular requirements. And so now once you start talking about the fact that there'll be multiple possible response templates based on the credential or something about the data, now you get into priority discussions about which one takes precedence. And we have not resolved any of those discussions. So I think, as Mark said, we're at least thinking about the problem and providing, you know, at least a slot in our development for being able to index off of something. And we have not solved the resolving what the index is yet, because that's really an open question. There's so much up in the air at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you. Sort of a time check. We're looking at about 12 minutes left for this meeting. And you know, I promised Jim I'd give him a chance to talk about the profile status. And you had some ideas, I think, on how to help us move forward. And just set some context here. You know, Cyrus pointed out, you know, the clock's ticking. We're in March. We do have some opportunities to meet between now and July. We have the GDD summit in May. We have an agenda item there, I think, to talk about the RDAP profile. So we have an opportunity to get together there. And then, of course, the June ICANN meeting. You know, I would think by the June ICANN meeting, though, we want to be very far along. We want to be talking about wrapping this up when we get to June. So not a lot of time. And I know, you know, from my own perspective, and I think I've talked to other people, you know, GDPR is a distraction, to use a term, but that's sucking all the air out of the room in a lot of cases. But that's not an excuse for us to neglect this. So we need to really focus between now and that June ICANN meeting to work on making progress and moving this forward. But with that great leading, Jim, do you have a
Okay, so thanks, Mark. Jim Galvin again from Ophelius. I really had a question about the profile because I wanted to ask about its actual role in the bigger picture. And this question, I think I've had this question for a while, but it's become much more crystallized in the recent past. So, I mean, it's really a question for this group, but it's really something, you know, for Cyrus to think about too, I think, specifically in all of this space. When I think about the larger picture of this pilot and its role in the community, okay, it seems clear to me that there's going to be more than one profile for what a response looks like. And we're using this word profile to represent two things. We have this document which is describing all of the elements that might be in an RDAP response. And if you were to present everything in the response, this is what it would look like. But I'm a little cautious these days, and this is becoming more of a concern as we move towards May 25th, in calling that the RDAP profile. Because that, to me, seems to suggest it has a role different than I think it really should. And I guess this is a question for the group and, you know, open discussion really to anyone. We do need a profile, if you will. We do need a specification of all potential data elements and what they look like. So we need, you know, the XML specification for what that's supposed to be. But the term profile, you know, I'm wondering what the terminology is here that we want to use. That is not in and of itself going to define what RDAP is going to respond to. RDAP responses are going to be dependent on issues entirely independent of that. So I want to ask that question. I think this is a profile of everything if you're giving or a profile of what elements look like if you're going to provide them in a response. And I'm asking, I think I'm asking specifically if that is the role of this profile document as opposed to calling it the RDAP profile. So, thank you.
Go ahead, Roger.
This is Roger. And as we sat here and talked, you know, the profile from last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was when we created it, I think is different than what we're talking about. Because the questions that I just brought up, I think this profile has to answer. It's how do you... Because I think we have to provide the technical bounds for what the policy can actually try to do. Right. So I think we have to come up with the fact of, okay, if we want to be specific about getting to a certain data and one person has access to one record, but they still have to be credentialed to get to it, how is that going to, you know, be done? So to me, it's yes, let's say what data is available, and I think that's fairly easy for all of us to do. But I think the harder part is, okay, how do we get through the credentialing or whatever, you know, supply the technical ability to the policy making?
Yeah, good points. And, you know, I think one of the things that are important for us to, you know, I think everybody to remember is this is not a policy-making body at all. We don't have the ability to make or change policy within this discussion group. You know, we're talking about implementation details of the protocol. Of course, we can make recommendations to other bodies, and as has been suggested numerous times, we have an opportunity to provide input into the next-gen RDS PDP, which is the policy-making organization, and I sincerely hope that's something we take advantage of as part of our output at the end of this pilot. But from my perspective, I think it's important that we separate out the policy from the profile itself. And you know, I would like to see us focus purely on the implementation aspects in the profile document, you know, the output that we produce, and make sure we leave the, you know, anything policy related to the policy making bodies. And I want to see if I can put Stephanie on the spot a little bit here, because I know this is something she has thoughts on as well. Are you willing to let me?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think a little bit, because I think we're stuck, and I think we're like stuck because we're in a challenging place, and we have this sort of parallel like legal compliance problem going on, and there's a parallel policy development problem and process going on, and we've tried to make this a technical track, but at a point where like all of our technical solutions and models are so uncertain, it's been. And these other processes are also uncertain. It's been sort of paralyzing and hard to move forward. But I think Jim is absolutely right that there's ways to split it up. I think there's like a couple of different questions, and I'm glad you isolated one of them. I think we can answer the question fairly easily around, provided that you're giving access to everything, what does it look like? And I think we can take the current draft from ICANN and answer that question with relative ease. And then the second set of questions, and several people in this room are probably better positioned to articulate them than I am, are around like credentialing and how that should work and what works best. Like maybe the next step from a project management perspective is just to like articulate the different buckets of problems that we're trying to solve are and the different components that we're trying to develop.
Thank you, Stephanie. And I'm being told we do have a meeting at noon or a follow-up meeting in this room at noon, so we do need to wrap up promptly. You know, Maxim, quick word, and you know, Jim, if time permits.
Maxim Ozobo, for the record, just short notice. We do not have data design in place. We do not have process design in place because it's questioned under the legal side of things. So it's not possible to create something unified without understanding of the data you are trying to just work with and the limitations to the processes, what you can do with which part of non-designed yet data. So I'm not sure it's possible to design something which will not be completely destroyed and remastered later. Thanks.
Jim, final word?
So I leave our chair, esteemed chair, with a couple of specific suggestions for what we should do going forward. I'd like to see this profile move to being called the registration data. I had a word. Darn it, I already forgot what the word. Yeah, I didn't want to call it profile. It's the registration data specification. Okay, I had a different word and I forgot it already. And then what we can focus on is let's move into. So that's one issue, and that's the way that we want to couch our work in this thing. And then we can move this thing forward and agree that we want to test the complete technical specification of how data is presented and available to be presented. So that's a good thing. Then we can move forward with testing credentials. And what we can with credentials is demonstrate for ourselves that we can create different profiles out of that specification of output, and we can demonstrate that all of that works.
And I think that's what we need for, and with that, the rest of the policy discussions can do whatever they're going to do, and we'll all be ready if we can make that work. I think that's kind of my baseline. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim, and thank you. Thank you, everybody, for participating in this ICANN 61 meeting of the RDAP Pilot Discussion Group. We can go ahead and end the recording and enjoy the rest of your sessions.